Discussions with the Jan Suchin in Bangkok and Gangrajan, June 2013. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Annie, Lan, Sarah, Jonathan, and other friends.
Annie had a discussion with us in Sydney, and then she met our friends in Hanoi and had a little more discussion, but she's not very familiar with the Pali terms. So I just mentioned that. And she's just come from the south of Thailand, where she, I think you visited a Buddhist temple there.
Yes.
And Lana's just come from Chiang Mai, where she spent 2 weeks in a temple there.
Yeah, from temple.
They both come from retreats.
Yeah. Is retreat better than not retreat?
The retreat was very rewarding and challenging, and I found it very difficult to leave the retreat. I could have stayed there for much, much longer. So, and I therefore found it very hard to get back into daily life and, you know.
So what's the difference between retreat and not retreat?
For me, it was the silence. It was a silent retreat.
And do you have any idea what silent is?
Not silent in my head, but silent, external silence.
Is there no attachment to silence?
I think I got very attached to silence.
So you want more attachment because you don't want to leave retreat, right?
Yes. I was clinging to silence.
It's good to know that it's clinging.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not understanding at all.
Mm. Yes.
And that's why people like so much to have attachment. Mm. And being afraid to lose kind of pleasant feeling or what one is attached to. Is attachment right understanding?
Attachment is right understanding.
Is it right understanding? Is attachment right understanding?
I'm not sure.
What is
it the same?
Yeah.
Or is it the same as...
Is when there is attachment, is there right understanding? Is it good to have attachment?
Oh, is it good...
And can attachment understand anything?
No.
Not at all.
No. It's not good to have attachment, is it? But you can't help but have attachment.
Yeah.
So
what did Buddha teach about having more attachment or less attachment?
He taught that you cannot control having attachment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you mustn't...
To go and control.
Control.
When it's retreat, it's control.
Yes.
In a proper place or some place, somewhere that you think that is nice.
Can we some people can go to a retreat just to enjoy.
Enjoy? Yeah. What is enjoyment?
Like Annie, she finds it quiet.
Yeah, and it's not her. It's a reality which is attached.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay, it's just...
Attachment.
Attachment is attachment. Attachment cannot understand reality or anything as it is.
So someone could go to a retreat not to understand, but just
never, just to be more attached. From the moment one gets closer and stay there for how long, there is more and more attachment. Otherwise, when it When it's not attachment, it is understanding. When there are conditions for understanding, and silence is not condition for understanding at all. Otherwise, Buddha didn't teach anything.
One of these kind of retreats years ago when they just have silence. And the problem with these is you cannot discuss what they're teaching with anyone. They make it very difficult to even ask questions of the teacher. This was Goenka. And I found the whole experience to be, I didn't have attachment to it at all. In fact, I had the very opposite. I found it to be almost a waste of time for myself. Other people didn't find it so, but for me, I found it to be a waste of time simply because it wasn't teaching me anything. And what it did teach was wrong. It taught a form of what the teachers called vipassana meditation, and it's not vipassana.
Again, I think just following on from what Sukin was saying, Annie went to her retreat. She knows it's mostly attachment, and she didn't want to leave because there's more attachment. So she doesn't necessarily think that she's going in order to develop any more understanding. She knows it's because it's something that is pleasant for her. Is that necessarily anything so different from, for example, when we're in Sydney together, we go swimming because we enjoy it, or we go out for a nice meal because we enjoy it? Is the danger just when one thinks that it's also for developing understanding?
What is real at this very moment, or at that moment, or those moments? And can that it be understood? Or it cannot be known as it is. This is the point. Between knowing, understanding, and not understanding at all, what's better? Realities are realities. When you talk about anything like swimming or going for pleasure somewhere, they are real moments. They are conditioned to be such and such, uncontrollable. But right understanding can see it as not self, just very temporary reality, conditioned, arising and falling away in split seconds. Where are they now? Every moment is like that. This is the way to let go, not attached to. And this is the teaching of the Buddha. Because he didn't teach anyone to be attached to anything. To what? That which has gone completely right now. See? So it has to be only right understanding which can understand reality which arises now and falls away now. Otherwise, there's no way to say or think that it is uncontrollable. And understanding is not you. It arises and falls away. Understanding does not hurt at all. It helps to know what's true and what's not true. For example, what is seen now, see? Why there is attachment? Or is there no attachment of that which is seen? Or it's there instantly, uncontrollable, taking it for something permanent. But all realities, all conditioned realities, are not permanent at all. Why do we study any subject as we like? To know or to understand. Right? And this is the greatest subject. And it's now, this moment. So it begins on whether there can be the introduction to understand reality as it is, more and more, to have detachment from taking it for something permanent when nothing is permanent. Is it not funny to cling to that which is gone, never come back at all? Just cling and cling and cling, like in a dream. And can you think of the reality as it is by yourself, anywhere, when you are in the silent place, secluded place, alone by yourself, no one there? Can you have such understanding like this by yourself? Or you need the teachings from the person who has enlightened the truth of everything? Like what is seen. See? There is something is seen when there is seeing. But what is there which is seen? What reality is there which can be seen? Can hardness be seen? Can sound be seen? Can smell be seen? So what is now which appears that there is a reality which is seen right now? What is it which is seen? No understanding, but there is clinging instantly to that which is seen. Without the teachings of the Buddha, no one can think about it as it is. And what is touched, see? There is clinging to that which is touched as something. But there is no understanding of touching, that which can be touched. And it's gone. Everything arises and falls away instantly, all the time. So the teachings of the Buddha is all about what appears now. When there is no understanding, it's like the blind person who cannot understand that which appears. Is there anyone on the screen of the television?
See, I find when you explain it like that, when you break it down in that way, I understand that when it's broken down in that, in the tiniest moments, and then I try and think about it in my own daily life when I'm trying to live moment by moment, and I feel it is so, I find it very difficult to
let go.
Yeah, to try and remember these, this right understanding in my, trying to live it in my life, or to understand it, these moments.
It's the same as all of us.
Yes.
And that's that's normal. The first time you hear about the Dhammas, it seems very daunting because all these terminology and everything's thrown at you, and it's a whole bunch of new ideas that are thrown at you. And it's only after a while that you've studied them for a while, that you've thought about them, that you've contemplated about them, that some understanding arises about them, and it kind of falls into place. So don't worry about it if it seems daunting now. Don't worry about it.
I think also we hear that now all that's seen is physical object, all that's heard is sound, what is touched is hardness, and it's clear at this moment that there is just this moment, there is just reality experienced through different senses. But immediately, instantly, we're lost in our dreams and the stories and the fantasies all day long, and that's why we have to hear a lot and hear a lot of reminders. And that's why Ajahn said, if you're just alone quietly in a temple, you're back on your own usual way of thinking. So one needs to have the discussion and hear more about what is real now. Because if we don't hear that actually only sound is heard, only visible object is seen, we may think that in the temple or in the quiet place, somehow the realities are different or better, but actually, whether here or there, seeing just sees what is visible, hearing just hears sound. So actually, the truth about this moment is just the same, no matter whether swimming or in the temple or here or there. And that's why it always comes back to this moment.
Yes.
Don't you think, Lan?
As I understand that you, when you often ask about those who come to the retreat or meditate, that you try to raise the question so that they realize their attachments to the thing called meditation or practicing. But many, I think, just to realize that not be attached to the practice, but when listening, some people can feel that it's like opposed to meditation.
If you don't talk about people, place,
yes,
and things, just talk about the truth. Is it okay? All right.
Yes.
Okay. So there are two different kinds of reality. One is understanding, opposite of ignorance.
Yes.
What is better?
Understanding.
Mm-hmm. So now everyone agrees that to understand is better than not knowing anything at all, right?
Yes.
So what is now, at this very moment, to be understood? Or we try to understand what, if it's not now. If it's not that which appears now, then what, understanding what?
So at one moment there are many things appears.
That is thinking. That is thinking. That is thinking. But if we don't talk or say this or that, just what appears now. We don't need any word. Because it is appearing. We don't have to call it visible object or things or people or hardness of sound or anything at all. Just that which appears. Is there anything appear now?
Yes. Many things appear.
Can that be object of understanding?
Yes.
Otherwise, there will not be any understanding of anything at all. Just think about understanding this or that. But that which should be the most object to be understood is whatever is now appearing.
Yes, so there are many.
So we don't need to talk about people and place.
Yes, I just want to say that there are many things appears at one moment. So
yeah.
One can experience at that moment, one can experience this or the
just
other.
Just one at a time?
Yes.
Okay.
Or one at a time.
Uh-huh.
But different people, different objects to be experienced.
Right now? what is that one which can be understood?
Right now, it can be touching.
Touching. Just talk about touching. Just touching. In order to understand better and better about touching as not self, not book, not table. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So, is it you who touch?
No.
So, what is that which touched?
Just the hardness or softness.
That which is which touches the object. There is touching. You said that is touching. Otherwise, hardness cannot appear without touching. How can you know that it's hard if there is no touching? But hardness can appear only to that reality which touches it, not think about it.
Yes.
So what is that which can touch, can experience that hardness? Is there a reality or no reality? Or is it you or someone?
That's the reality.
A reality. So this is the way to understand what we mean by reality. No one at all. Seeing is a reality. It's not you, it's not me, it's not the dog or cat or anyone. Seeing. We don't talk about place, meditation center or teachers or anyone. Just talk about the truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
and how can there be more and more understanding of this? Not just knowing that it can be touched. That's not enough. Because there's touching and then there's seeing, hearing, which are different from touching. It means that touching is gone at moment of seeing, at moment of hearing. Can this be directly experienced? To see that there is no self, not just say that there's no self at all. Not just the word, but the understanding of a reality. Until there is no wrong view about whatever appears as something permanent, or me, or I, or self. Because each reality arises by conditions. Without the I base, without that which can impinge on it, without seeing, what appears now cannot appear. That it is real, it's a reality, different from other kind of reality. All of them are not self. They do not belong to anyone at all. Just arise and go away. But there's clinging without understanding, taking it for something permanent. And that is wrong understanding. So one has to understand what's right understanding and what's wrong understanding. No self, no one. Is this a point of discussion to understand what's the truth and what's not the truth? Otherwise, we talk in order to know or not to know, to understand and not to understand whatever appears now.
What I still wonder is that when after some time listen to you, and then you often ask about what is appears now through one of the six sense doors, so then the student will have the habit to come back to ask what is the experience through one of the six sense door, and while meditators will have the habit to.
What do you mean by meditator?
I mean in a normal.
What is that?
That people practice with some.
What is
object.
Practicing? What do you mean by practicing?
When they try to be mindful.
They try
of the
to be mindful. Is that right? No understanding. Just.
Not sure. It can be understanding when.
Understanding knows that no one can control seeing. When there is no condition for awareness, awareness cannot arise at all. How can awareness and right understanding arise without understanding? No conditions.
It's like training for the mind to be concentrated to be mindful on one object so that it will less wandering.
What do you mean by mind? Is there mind now?
The mind, which the mind is what experiences the reality.
Okay, so it's not you.
It's not me.
Okay, what does it experience now? The mind.
The mind can experience.
Now, what does it experience?
Can I say that at this moment there?
No, you. We just talk about that which experiences. It is experiencing.
It can be experienced the knowing of the rising, falling, or it can be experienced the perceptions.
Not yet. Now, can there be understanding of that which is touched as not something like hand or microphone? There must be conditions for such understanding. It doesn't mean that I touch it and I know that it's a reality, it's conditioned, it arises and falls away. Not yet. Because there is the idea of something all the time, accumulated from life to life, to not knowing what appears, and take it for something permanent all the time.
Yes. So can we experience that the wrong view, the wrong understanding is arising?
Panya. That which can understand anything,
yes.
When it's developed,
yes.
When it's accumulated more enough to understand whatever appears, even attachment is a reality.
Yes.
It does not arise and stay for a long time, just temporarily,
yes.
Very short.
It arises and passes away.
Mm-hmm. You can talk about that. But now, where is it? Where is the clinging now, which arises? See? No understanding of a particular reality which arises and falls away in split seconds. So that's why we learn to know about realities, to be conditioned for right awareness, to just arise and is aware. With right understanding of that particular object, not other object, by conditions, not at will that I'll go somewhere, I try to have it. There is still the idea of self when there is the idea of I can do, right? Can you do anything?
So is the meditation center or the time for retreat different from other? Right understanding can arise at any time and anywhere.
When there are conditions.
Yes.
Only.
When.
Like seeing can arise with that conditions. With our condition, seeing cannot arise. With our condition, panya, right understanding cannot arise. So we see that the idea of self is right or wrong. The understanding of reality as it is, conditioned, arising and falling away, what's right and what's wrong. See, this is right understanding. When it's wrong, you think that you can do. Going somewhere, sit, doing something and hope for panya to arise. But what does panya know? What does right understanding know or understand?
So once when we already heard about the theory about the reality, it means that the pariyatti, and so how to become to the
Become is you. But when there are conditions, panya arises.
So how can...
How again is I again, not understanding.
How is to
so is the self? So it's the self who study in order to know whether how much the self understand. But if there is no self from the very beginning, right understanding begins to develop from time to time of understanding, like seeing is just that which experiences visible object. It cannot hear. It's conditioned. And there are many conditions for seeing to arise, not just one.
So can conditions be created?
No. Have you heard about all dhammas are anatta? Do you agree? All dhammas, no exception. All dhammas are anatta.
Anatta means not so.
Mm-hmm. Uncontrollable. Everyone wishes to have great understanding, but that's not the way.
As I understand, like you often say about considering, reading and considering about the reality mm-hmm. or about
Chitta
the Dhamma.
And Jetasikas, different ones
yes.
at a time.
So as I understand that, that is creating the condition for the right understanding.
Not by anyone, not by anyone, but by conditions.
Yes.
With apriyati, how can there be patipatti, and what does patipatti mean in Pali? It doesn't mean to do or to practice. Patti is particular, and patti is to approach that particular object with understanding. By conditions, by pariyati. With apariyati, no condition for patipatti.
So for the pariyati, we need to read to
discuss, to read, to consider
all the Tipitaka
about realities, about now. Ananda listened to the Buddha, right?
Yes.
He told what he heard to the others, right?
Yes.
Because of his good memory and understanding. Not just memory and memorize, it's the understanding of what Buddha taught about each one. And if there is no one, he consider reality to have more and more understanding and clear comprehension of reality. It is not just go somewhere and hope to have all this at all. Read Tipitaka and you can see what condition even right attention to the Buddha's teaching. Buddha said or told everyone the truth that all dhammas are conditioned. True or not?
Yes.
Yes. Don't forget. Because you see that some said it is true, but the idea of going somewhere is there. See, who goes? What for? Did Buddha say, go somewhere? Or he taught at that very moment for those who listened right then to understand what he taught about. Like seeing now. We're talking about seeing to understand better and better that it's a reality, no self who sees. It's conditioned. It sees and then it falls away. Never come back at all. Each moment is a new one, conditioned by previous ones. Added more and more conditions for the next and the next. If there is understanding now, there can be more understanding when they are thinking, considering about the truth of what one heard and read more and discuss more to understand it. Now there is no self at all, just one reality, different from the others by conditions. Each one is no self.
So now we often come back to the seeing consciousness or visible object or hearing. Or
why not?
For us, it's just like thinking about the seeing consciousness or thinking about visible objects.
You know why? Because there's not just seeing, there is thinking as well. And thinking is not seeing. No one can stop thinking. No one can stop seeing. Because there are conditions for all realities which arise.
Yes, so we know, we just think it.
But you have to see the difference between thinking and seeing. Otherwise, I see and I think. Or seeing is not self, but the thinking is not, it's me. It's conditioned too. Can you control your thought, your thinking? Select such and such moment of thinking to be wholesome or unwholesome?
Cannot be select, but it might be, can be changed.
Pardon?
Can be changed.
She says, cannot, maybe cannot select, but it can be changed.
No, I mean, it's like the mind or the habit of the mind can be changed.
Can be changed.
No, changed.
Trained. Can be trained. So.
Trained.
Who trained? Okay, my again. So it's not clear comprehension about realities as realities. Not yet.
I still think that create condition for the right understanding for mindfulness. Even it sometimes it can or sometimes cannot.
Can you say a little bit about what those conditions are? What are the conditions for right awareness?
The right condition for...
Yeah, we were talking about creating conditions. So what are those conditions?
It's like when you often remember about the object, then you pay attention to that object, then gradually mindful on the object continuously.
Can you create all that? You can create all that?
That's what I mean. It does sometimes. Sometimes the mindfulness on the object can arise and continue for some time. I mean, one after another, and sometimes cannot because of some other outside or inside conditions.
What kind of object, for example?
For example, the breath, or rising, falling, or the mind, or the feelings here or there.
These are concepts.
This
is all concept, not dhamma.
I mean,
not dhammas.
If the characteristic of that of the reality when the rising arise or the falling arise, that's. It can experience
rising and falling of what? The breath, you mean? Or dhammas?
Actually, that can be the reality arise, then can be the characteristic of the what is called rising or falling. Actually, it's not only one. It's a series of moments.
Shall we talk about one reality at a time in order to understand better? Just one at a time, okay?
Yes.
What is breath?
Actually, it would be nothing can be called the breath because it's the series of moments which a different reality can be experienced.
You talk about reality or you just talk about the word? Without reality. Like breath, when you talk about breath, what is that which you call it breath? There must be something that you call it breath. What is that? The reality of breath.
Sometimes it can be...
Not sometimes. What is breath? That you take or call it breath?
The breath can be the combination of...
Of what?
Of the hardness or the coldness
okay.
Or the movement.
Okay, but hardness is not coldness at all.
But it can be experienced.
Hardness cannot be heat. Hardness is hardness. The four primary rupas, There are different four, not just one, not the combination. They arise together, but they are different.
Yes.
So hardness is not heat.
Yes.
So what is breath? When it appears, what is it?
Actually, when say that the object is red, or the rising, falling...
No, not falling yet, but before knowing the arising and falling, like now. Hardness appear. Do you know or experience the arising and falling away of it? Or you just know a reality which is hard, which is touched. At that very moment, it appears. Without touching, it cannot appear. Hardness cannot appear without touching, right?
Yes.
So, is touching breath? It's hard. So, is hardness here breath?
Normally, you will experience the touching consciousness, but can be experienced the hardness or sharpness, or hot or cold.
Who experiences?
It just arises.
Chitta, right?
Yes.
That which can experience. At that moment, is it? Can it see at moment of touching?
No, it cannot see when...
So different moment,
yes.
Different conditions. No one there.
Yes.
Can you create anything? Can you?
I think it's like in
because
the same way we...
You see that because you think that there is I.
No, I mean it's in the same way that we keep on reading or keep on considering
okay.
About what we read.
If there is no I at all, it's not I who create. Because there is no I.
Yes.
But there are realities which condition each moment. Each reality. So we learn later what are the conditions for each reality to arise. Otherwise we cannot let go of the idea of self, that who can do, because there is no I at all, no one at all. There are only realities.
Yes, no one create, but
so no one,
only
no
creating.
One, no one.
Only creating.
What is that? What is that? Which
no
you call
one, no
creating?
One read, but only reading.
Okay, what is reading?
Reading is combination of many realities.
No,
seeing
just one at a time.
Okay.
What is reading?
At first moment, it can be seeing.
Okay, seeing is seeing, right?
Yes.
Can seeing understand the word?
No.
No. So, seeing cannot understand the word. What can understand the word?
After seeing can be the perception, the sanya of the word, and many other
they
things.
Are all dharmas. They are all realities. No one there. From the very beginning to the end, you cannot find the self in any reality at all. Hardness is not self. Seeing is not. Thinking is not. So, what is reading? Seeing itself is not reading. Thinking itself is not reading. So, what is reading?
Yes, that's what I also want to ask you about. What you call that the stories that net that are.
We can say that there are six worlds, right?
Yes.
Seeing, and then after that, there is thinking. Of that which is seen.
Yes.
So, after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, it's followed by thinking. After seeing, after hearing. Just hearing sound doesn't bring any understanding of anything at all. But there is a reality which thinks about the shape, the degree of sound, and take it for something in different languages. And that is thinking. So reading is not just seeing, but seeing and thinking about that which is seen. Are you reading now?
No, I'm seeing.
Not at all? There is seeing. So Are you reading now?
No.
There is seeing, and after seeing, there is thinking. You take this for something like the alphabet, right? With the vowels, the eyes, the ears. See, the idea, exactly the same. So when there is the understanding of a reality, it has to be that reality. No one can change seeing to thinking, and no one can make thinking see at all. Impossible. Thinking is thinking. There can be thinking after seeing, or even there is no seeing. Memory, condition, vitaka touches on the experiences which has been experienced with idea of something all the time. At that moment we call it thinking, but actually it's moment of cetasikas, which from memory. Without memory, one cannot think of anything at all. So it conditions thinking and other cetasikas. No self, no one. And what is breath again? There is breathing and breath now, no understanding. But the Buddha enlightened realities as they are, in details. No one can think about it. So what is breath?
The sati can arise with citta, and the object of citta can be the reality or can be the concept. So
is that the answer of what is breath? So you don't know what breath at all. No one knows. One cannot know breath by thinking over it to find out what is it, but by studying, learning to understand what Buddha taught, and see whether it's true or not. When it's true, you know that no one can change the truth of reality at all. That is Paramattha Dhamma, the absolute realities, ultimate realities.
And the Buddha also practiced with the breath, but after that he realized that he understand what is the breath is. The breath was.
Didn't he directly experience breath as breath to say that what is breath? Or just he think over it, what is breath? See, this is the different level of understanding. Thinking is not the direct experience. At moment of direct experience, no word, hardness appear. At that moment, there is no word that it's hard at all, because it's there, already experienced. So what is breath? See? Can you think it out by yourself? All realities cannot be just thought about to know their realities. Because of ignorance from life to life and the pile of accumulation of ignorance. Each moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking in a day, how great it is. So it cannot understand whatever appears. And it learned to understand little by little from hearing, discussing, thinking over it.
How can we improve in develop understanding by reading and about reality and reading many things in Tipitaka.
You hope to have it?
Maybe there's a hope arise.
What about understanding?
About the reality.
Understanding or hoping. Reality is to be hoped, wished to know, or to understand.
So to develop dry understanding at the about the reality at this moment is by remembering.
Just understanding what we are talking about. Buddha taught in the old days to those who listened to him about that which appeared at that very time.
I think all these questions about what to do to have understanding, or how can pariyatti become patipatti, or what can be followed, it's all about self and what self can do, rather than just understanding what is the reality at this moment. And it may seem that we've heard a lot, so that there's good pariyatti already, so then we ask how to become patipatti. But while there's still that idea of self that can do something, or steps that can be followed, it's not really the firm pariyatti, because there's still the idea of self or someone doing something, not just understanding, seeing at this moment, hearing, thinking, visible object. It's trying to understand, trying to be aware. So it's actually motivated by clinging to oneself, not understanding.
No method, not even reading and discussing. If you see that as a method, then it's not.
Yeah, I think maybe it's now like a method of reading and considering.
If you make reading and discussing into a method, then it's not the way. Just what appears now, that's the only way to better understand. Always come back to now. Because if it's not now, then it's we're thinking about the past or future. And if it's with the idea of how, it's with the idea of it's itself. And that's not the way. There is only the reality now. If this is not understood, then what else is there to understand?
So it's also like a practice of mindfulness, but to be at the present moment with the right object of reality, not concept.
It's coming to understand.
I wouldn't say mindfulness. It's just understanding, beginning with intellectual understanding. You hear and you understand that this is how it is intellectually. And that the element of understanding is developed on that intellectual understanding. There's only this present moment. If you understand that intellectually, then the practice has to agree with that, that there's only now. Practice, then why would practice be another time, another place? It has to be now.
Now is just one of the six worlds that experienced by one of the six sense laws. So suddenly you see the book on the table, and then you read the book about that topic, and tomorrow the book's been on the table, and you keep on reading. Is that by condition?
Yeah, I mean, this is just thinking in terms of situations, but what is the reality? Seeing, thinking, hearing, touching. That's all there is.
Did you go to meditation center to understand seeing, or what? You went to meditation center to have the understanding of seeing, or what?
To understand about the mind, and after that see that the mind has
so
a lot
what
of...
So what do you understand mind now?
That it's a lot of defilements, and then need to be
purified?
Directly, or just think about it?
Sometimes I think there are sometimes the experience is not just only thinking.
You mean, excuse me?
No, but it appears that it has created so much stories about the worst way for the mind.
Actually, you cannot deny that no stories, because you say that...
I mean, the stories about defilements and all that, you know, and it's not...
Defilement and chetasika or chitta, which is also reality.
And it's no different now. Is there defilement now? Is there seeing now, hearing now?
It can be seeing now or hearing now, or it also can be some chitta or chetasika arise. For example, wondering or like doubtful or
any reality. But when there's understanding, there's no story about this reality being defilement or anything. You know, it's just understanding one thing at a time.
That the thinking of need to be purified is also a thought, and is also a reality, the thinking.
But thinking is just thinking. Not the story about thinking is different from just the reality of thinking.
And who purify? Who purify?
So can I ask you about the what Buddha taught about the path of purification?
Yes, panya, right understanding of whatever appears now. If there is no right understanding of now, what can be understood? Because it hasn't come yet, or it has gone already. Even dukkha, the first Ariyasaccha, what does it mean? And what is dukkha? If nothing arises, no dukkha. But whatever arises falls away, that's the meaning of dukkha. Not permanent at all.
Normally we wouldn't try
just
to think
arise
that.
To see and then go away, fall away. Just arise to hear, just arise to think. In split seconds, and then completely gone. No more. That's the meaning of dukkha. And it has to be direct experience.
Yes.
Not just think about it, oh, we have a lot of akusala.
Yes, that's what
and,
I'm interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and how can one know the difference between citta and cetasikas?
By reading.
So that is taught by Buddha from his direct experience, that anyone can develop panya to know that.
The mental process, it seems that we just can understand that cannot be experienced.
Buddha just think, thought about this, or experienced directly.
Of course Buddha experienced that. But
and
for
he
us,
taught, and he taught those who listened to his teaching until they became Sotapanna, Sakatagami, Anagami, Arahata. So no more ignorance because of the direct experience, not just seeing. Otherwise, what is meant by arahata? Just think about realities and let go without direct experience any reality or what? Even the word citta and cittasikas represents realities, right? Different ones. Citta is not cetasika, and how can there be the understanding directly of the distinction of citta and cetasika? Because the four satipatthana, kayanupasana satipatthana, vedananupasana satipatthana, cittanupasana satipatthana, and dhammanupasana satipatthana, see, citta is not vedana. So how can there be the direct understanding, not just heard about and think that one understood already, but it has to be the moment of directly experienced.
Yes.
So can that be from accumulation of understanding of what the Buddha taught about whatever appears now, arising and falling away. Otherwise, there must be the idea of self. Never let go of the idea of self. Each word is different because of their different characteristics, which can be directly experienced.
Yes.
To really know that they are different ones.
Yes.
So what is citta and what is anicetasika? They are not the same.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So can I ask you about one word, contemplation?
Okay.
What is can you explain for me about contemplation?
No one except realities. So there are manasikara cetasika, right attention, vitakka, without panya, it touches akusla, object which will bring more akusla because of ignorance. See, each cetasika performs its own function, it has its own characteristics. That's why they are different. Feeling is not memory. Vedana is not sanya. Otherwise, one will mistake the word satipatthana. Why it is patthana? Because it is aware of an object directly. Not just think about it. When there is thinking about the teachings about citta and cetasika, it's not satipatthana. Because it is not moment of being aware of a reality with right understanding, begin to study, begin to get used to the characteristic which is not self at all, little by little. Even right now, not in or at any particular place. But it depends on understanding of the teachings of the Buddha. Whether it's true. When it's true, then one can follow the truth, the right path, leading to directly experience the arising and falling away of realities right now. And that is meant in Pali, bhavana, which is translated as meditation, wrongly. Because it's not meditate, it's the development of understanding. Do you think that one can have right understanding without understanding seeing right now?
You can understand about it wrong.
Because it's panya, which can eliminate wrong understanding, little by little, until all wrong views are gone, no more at all. So what did you get from meditation center?
Normally we do anything often have with the idea that this body or this foot or this leg or this hand.
Do you need to go there to know?
No. And then after that reading that, that's about that, there is nothing to be called the body or the leg or the hand. That just only the four elements. But it just stopped there. And after some time, the so-called meditating, I think that the experience is the can experience that a bit, not only that remind about that.
Once you know or understand reality, can it be lost? then you come to ignorance again.
It can be lost because it also by conditions.
Never come back?
It can be come back if enough conditions.
Mm-hmm. Not lost in the sense that it's accumulated, but and it's there. It's not lost in the sense that the question is
it's lost not in the sense that you have understanding now, next moment you have ignorance.
Yes.
The lost which Achan is talking about is once it's accumulated, it's there, and passed on from one chitta to the next. All accumulations are not lost.
How can you say so? It's like you have a bag and then put the accumulations there.
Not a bag, it's chitta, it's not like a bag. Bag is a rupa. But all sankhara dhammas, they accumulate, right? Sankhara khandas. Attachment accumulates. That's why it grows. So same with panya, it accumulates. It has to grow. Otherwise, where's the development? How can it develop? How can it be just understanding and then lost, and then you start again from zero, or what?
No, it's in the same way.
Hmm?
That sometimes understand, sometimes not understand.
Yeah, that's we're talking
about different moments. We're talking about on what Achan was asking, is it lost? The question is, what's accumulated? Can it somehow be lessened, the accumulation, the tendency to attachment? Suppose there's accumulated for a long time the tendency to attachment. Can that disappear?
So it in the same way that when the object of mindfulness is one object for continuous for some time, then it will become the accumulation or the tendency for the future.
Like now, visible object appears. If there is understanding of visible object, there is awareness of visible object for a moment and it falls away, but that understanding can be a condition for understanding of that of visible object again in future. But if we have the idea that awareness can be aware continuously of visible object or one object, then this is not right, because as you said before, it arises, it falls away, it doesn't last at all.
You've asked quite a number of times about purifying the mind, so I'd like to ask what you understand by purifying the mind.
That's what I want to listen teaching from Achan about, part of purification.
So what do you think it means, though? Have a guess, then. Purification of the mind. Is it anything to do with dhammas, for example?
Means if you say guess like that.
Right.
At that moment when the wholesome citta, not unwholesome citta.
So, for example, when there's metta, loving kindness, is that purification of the mind?
It can be the lobha.
Metta?
Can you say it again?
Metta.
Yes.
Metta.
Yeah.
It can be lobha, did you say?
It can be in between. At first, it can be metta, but when develop it,
sure,
it can be lobha in between and
sure.
Metta.
But
and lobha.
When we talk about purifying the mind, are you thinking then of a process? Because if we say that wholesome mental states are purifying the mind,
it's also like a wholesome mental state arise and then one after another.
Right. So how about any moment of understanding of dhammas, would that not be purification of the mind?
Yes, with understanding, then
understanding.
Then it would
right.
be a wholesome mental state.
Right. But it's a particular kind of wholesome mental state, isn't it?
Yes, I know there are many wholesome mental state.
Right.
But
some are more wholesome than others.
It's like at the arupa or rupa, then it will be more higher than sensual pleasure.
How about we talked about understanding touching earlier?
Yes.
Right, and hardness. If there's a moment of understanding of touching or hardness, is that purifying the mind?
If with understanding,
yes.
Is wholesome.
So it's down to the moment, isn't it? If there's understanding, there's purifying the mind. If there's not understanding, then no purification.
Yes.
When there's understanding of a Dhamma,
yes.
there is no wrong view,
yes.
obviously, but also there is the development of understanding the way things are.
Yes.
Yeah.
May I say that, is that enough?
What else is there? Well, ignorance and wrong view are the problem, aren't they? That's why we continue to live in samsara, because ignorance and wrong view.
Do I understand right that the mind is the how to say equivalent with the its object? That the object of the mind, if the object of the mind is the sense plane, so the mind cannot be the at higher wholesome state.
I think when the Buddha taught about dhammas, and he talked about jittas and jetasikas and rupas, mental dhammas and the dhammas that experience an object, namas, and the dhammas that do not experience an object, rupas. So you keep asking about the mind, but maybe we forget that what we think of as the mind are just different dhammas, namas. So there's not actually a mind to be purified. It's only different moments of experiencing different things. So if there's a moment of consciousness with understanding, then at that moment there's the understanding is being developed. The so-called mind at that moment is purified, is pure, just for that moment.
You know that the mind is impure, right? What makes it impure?
Because of samsara.
What?
Too much accumulation.
Lobha, attachment.
Yes.
Dosa, aversion.
Yes.
And moha, ignorance.
Yes.
So how can it be purified? What purified?
It can be that if the object of the mind is the object of...
It doesn't depend on the object. It depends on the understanding. The object's just right now. The mind is impure because of ignorance, attachment, and aversion. But when there is right understanding, it can purify ignorance, attachment, aversion, because of understanding the nature of realities as they are, wholesome or unwholesome. ignorance wholesome? Is it wholesome? Is ignorance wholesome?
No, ignorance is not.
So it's dirty, right? It makes the mind impure. And how can there be the purification of the impure mind? Ignorance is impure and right understanding is pure. Without right understanding, nothing can purify the mind or the dirtiness of the mind. Ignorance is there. So do you have any understanding about seeing right now to purify ignorance which does not understand it as it is, arising and falling away, and it does not belong to anyone at all? No one can own it. It's gone. But usually in a day, there is clinging to seeing, right? You got what you wish for. Every day, you wish to see, and you see now. You wish to hear, and you hear now. There is hearing now, according to your wishes, to see, to hear, but no understanding. Because wishing to get, not to let go. If it's dirty, would you let go? Or would you like to attach, to be attached to that? See? So one can say that the mind is impure. It's just the words. At this moment, there is no understanding of seeing as it is. Is there any understanding of the impurity of that now, which sees? No understanding. It's covered up by ignorance and attachment. It's impure. So let's use the Pali term, citta, instead of the mind. That which experiences an object. It seems like we live in this world quite a long time, from birth up to now, from the day we were born and up to this moment. We cling to that which appears without understanding that if there's no such element which can experience whatever appears, nothing will appear. Right? As the world, the house, friend, things. If there's no reality which can directly, which can experience whatever appears now, what which now appear cannot appear. So it appears to just that which experience it. Like whisper object now. Not appear to seeing or thinking, but to hearing and thinking. It appears just to seeing, only seeing moment. And when there's no understanding, the mind or the citta is impure. It's not clean, not clear to understand whatever appears as it is. So the way to purify citta is right understanding of whatever appears. No self, only different elements. The element which can experience an object and the element which arises but cannot experience anything at all. No one there. Would you think that anyone can just purify the mind without right understanding?
Because you know, in the part of purification, Buddha talked about the seven.
Yes, but.
And right understanding is one of the seven.
Is, please.
Even the first one, the purification of sila visuddhi, purification of morality, can there be any purification even at the very beginning, even for the very first one, without right understanding? because visuddhi means understanding, clear understanding. So even from the beginning, there has to be understanding.
Can you purify the body?
My take shower in Ganga River.
Yeah. And how can you purify the mind, Ajita? Shower?
Shower the mind.
You were talking earlier about sensuous object and object in other planes. What's your thinking about that?
What I think is the mind is one mind is equivalent with its object.
Well, for example, now there can be the object of visible object or sound.
Now, all the time, our object would be the sense.
Yeah, but it can be experienced with, or there can be kusala citta or akusala citta arising after that object is experienced. Right? So same object, but can be followed by kusala citta or akusala citta. So what difference does the object make? You say that somehow you seem to be equating the purification with the object rather than the mental state. If we're talking about purification of the mind, are we not talking about the quality of the mind rather than the object of the mind?
Do you agree that the mind is equivalent to that to its object, and the object is equivalent with the mind?
No, I don't understand what that means. Give me an example.
Maybe it's like for example, it's like that. Now we are not we haven't attained Nibbana because our object is not the object of Nibbana. Is that? Right understanding is one of the 19 that beautiful consciousness. So how
it's a wholesome mental factor, but it doesn't arise with every wholesome citta. The 19 are the ones that always arise with each sobhana citta, but understanding may or may not arise. So usually, for example, at a moment of generosity or a moment of kindness, the citta is wholesome, but usually no understanding.
So how can be the condition for that beautiful consciousness to arise?
Understanding now, like now we're discussing, we're hearing more about what understanding is, what can be the objects of understanding, what it means to be a wholesome citta. So by considering more carefully and understanding more what is useful and what is useless, what is dirty mind, what is clean mind, that is the way that wholesome cittas can develop, will develop, not by wanting to have a clean mind, but by understanding more about realities now. Is it interesting, Annie, to hear about purification of the mind, or is it confusing?
A little confusing. I don't understand how you can purify the mind. I don't really understand how you can do that. Is the mind consciousness? Is that what you call? Is the mind and consciousness the same thing?
Yeah, I think what we conventionally think of as the mind is according to
the way the Buddha explained it, actually moments of consciousness.
Mm.
So there's no mind as such, but there are moments of consciousness.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
And what we have been emphasizing is that actually there's nothing you or me or anyone can do to purify it, because there is no you or me. So it's only through understanding more about realities such as what is consciousness, what does it experience, and understanding more that actually it's just a moment of experiencing an object that arises and falls away, such as seeing. Seeing is one kind of consciousness. Hearing is another kind of consciousness. Thinking is another kind of consciousness. So understanding that actually there is no one who can do anything. This is an important part of what understanding, what the nature of understanding is.
So who is that eye that sees? There's no eye that sees.
There's an idea of an eye that sees. But the seeing consciousness sees. But there's, after the moment of seeing consciousness, there's a lot of thinking, which are other moments of consciousness. And so the different experiences through the different sense doors are thought about in that sort of way. And from those experiences arises the idea of people and things and mind and me and them.
So that is that where there's wrong understanding regarding the idea that I see, I am the one that is thinking those moments, the thinking that comes up. That is where it gets, I start believing.
It could be wrong understanding. Just because we use the term I or you doesn't mean there necessarily is wrong understanding, but if there's a belief that it's an I, then that is wrong understanding.
Because
it's necessary to think in those terms in order to communicate and to live in the world.
Can we just talk about seeing without the idea of I see? Possible? Seeing. We don't have to say whether it's I or anyone at all. Just seeing itself. To be sure, is seeing real now? Or is only just fantasy thinking? Is seeing real?
Yes.
Why?
The eyes that see.
Because it sees.
It sees.
So what is it, see, to understand seeing? Now seeing sees, right?
Seeing.
There is seeing, right?
Yes.
And seeing sees. And we can say that it's that which sees. And what is that which sees? Not self, not I, but it's a reality conditioned by the visible object and the eye base. If the visible object does not impinge on the eye base, and if there is no seeing, there is no eye who see at all. But whenever there's seeing, without understanding, seeing is conditioned to arise and see. It cannot do anything. It just arises to see, that's all. And after that, it falls away instantly. It cannot think, it cannot know what is seen at all. just arise to see. So it's not I who sees or anyone who sees, but a reality which is conditioned to arise and see. For all whatever appear arises to experience, this is only realities, conditioned to think, conditioned to hear, conditioned to like, conditioned to dislike. Whatever arises needs conditions for its arising. It's beyond anyone's control. No one can have it at will. Let it arise now. It's impossible. And this is the understanding, right understanding of realities. And when it's right understanding, it's clean. It's not dirty, right? But it's dirty because of ignorance, attachment, aversion, conceit, and all unwholesome realities. They are all realities. In Pali, it's the word Dhamma represents all these realities. So we don't have to say this word. It depends on whatever you say in your language. In Thai, I would say, Sing thi mi jing jing. I don't need the word Dhamma because Sing thi mi jing is right now. That is a reality, different realities, like seeing is not visible object which is seen. See? But you take visible object as something like my hand, my body. But actually, the body is conditioned to arise, to be hard or cold, see, or color, or smell, or taste. It's there with any, for primary rupas, that which is hard and heat, for example, see. Without seeing, can there be the idea, I see? But whenever they're seeing, ignorance take it for I see. That's why we learn by reading and considering the teachings to have one's own or the understanding of oneself. We use this word to distinct between the other realities and this realities. We have to use the words to communicate what we mean. That's all. But actually at this moment, no need to say that it's I or anyone. But since there is no understanding, so whatever appears, it's something. Because not direct experiencing the arising and falling away in succession so very rapidly. So it conditioned the shape and form and sign of something to be noted, to be taken for something, like glass and table and things. But actually, without that which can be seen, how can you know? Can you get this from retreat? One has to be so very truthful in order to get understanding straightforward. Is there doubt?
Just processing.
If you say there it is, it's not wrong because it's a reality. What you take in your life for something are different realities at different times. That's all. Doubt is doubt. Understanding is understanding. Wrong idea is wrong idea. They arise by condition to be that and then pass away, fall away, never come back. Can you get anything from yesterday? Now? Can you have anything that you had yesterday? Never. Not at all. Even previous moment. That seeing is not this moment of seeing at all. And who knows this? It's beyond thinking. It has to be the direct understanding so that one can talk about it in details very clearly, like breath or anything. And I think that without the understanding of realities, we can say that we talk a lot from birth up to now without any understanding at all. Like the world, everyone seems to know what it means, but what is the world or what is the world?
Does talking about or hearing about the realities of life, is that a meaning or understanding realities?
Yeah, it. That's why I'm interested in learning more, because it does resonate with me, I suppose, and gives life as I see it some meaning. I think maybe I'm trying to understand how the whole idea of I keeps coming back to how does this then affect my understanding of life, my life, and that's where I get confused about the idea of non-self. I mean, if we just break it down into these moments of these realities, and then there's the thinking arises, or the stories that arise from the realities, the unwholesomeness, and how if there isn't any, we cannot, there's no moments have just gone, moments arise and fall away, how then do I still live with, how do I understand about regret, and I don't know.
Is regret a reality?
A reality?
Yeah. It is a reality.
Is it real? Yes, it is.
Yes, and it can be studied, it can be known when it arises. What it is. It arises and falls away immediately. It is not self, it is not you regretting something. It is regret arising and falling away. And it's dukkha, because it's not satisfactory. It's not. So when there's the understanding of what the characteristics of regret are, or a characteristic at a particular time, when that happens, then there is a slight disattachment from it, so that there's not the feeling of, I guess, remorse or whatever it is when the regret arises. So that also helps to answer your question about how is this relating to your daily life, in that when understanding of these realities arise, there can be some disattachment from them, so that they're not causing tremendous dosa and akusala for us.
I think everyone has moments of regret, moments of happiness, moments of aversion, jealousy, anger, all these things. If you talk about understanding them, how they fit in, I think you're talking about trying to conceptualize how it all relates. But I think what Betty's point was, that and your own point, that when these things arise, they can be understood. If they're not arising, they can't be understood. Only something that is presently arising can be directly understood. And when we talk about development of awareness and understanding, we are talking about development of awareness and understanding of whatever is real at the present moment.
We're not talking about stopping anything, we're just accepting what arrives, understanding.
And not me, not my regret.
Yes.
So now you know what life is. Clearly, not yet. Yeah, but know that without the reality which can experience, there is no life. Okay, it's time.